Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the first chapter of Luke, verses 39 through 55. Listen again for God's word to you. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was frightened, being such a young girl living in a town so far off the beaten track. Who would have dreamed that one of God's messengers would visit me? And in such a mysterious way. I was going to be pregnant, this Gabriel told me. I would have a son. He would be a descendant of David, a new king for a new kingdom. My first thought was, what would people think of this 14-year-old pregnant and not yet married? I'd be worthless in the eyes of my family, indeed in the eyes of all Nazareth. A pregnant girl out of wedlock? Impossible. I knew exactly what would happen. I'd be shunned. And what would my husband-to-be think? My mind raced as I considered all of the plausible explanations to offer him. But then I decided he should know the truth. Gabriel had come with new news, and it would happen. What my people had hoped for these many years would now come true. I was the special one who would bear the new Messiah. What a thought. I went and visited Elizabeth, as the messenger had suggested. She knew who I was and what had happened. She, too, was pregnant, and after we talked at some length about all we had seen and heard, I began to settle down a bit and to consider more seriously what the angel had promised. Elizabeth was convincing, and for the first time, I felt like a mother.
At first, I was frightened. My husband and I weren't getting along very well at the time. One night, after a particularly bad fight, we made up, and it happened. A few weeks later, the pregnancy test was positive, and I immediately wondered what my husband would think. As it turned out, I was right. He wasn't overjoyed. What I didn't expect was that he'd leave, quit his job, take the truck, and disappear into thin air. It's been one crisis after another since then. You don't want to hear it all. Being so young, pregnant, My husband skipping town, no family to turn to. I was literally out on the street. Both of us had grown up in Madison, and I had always felt safe and secure around here. As I walked by the men sleeping near Capitol Square, who would have ever thought that one day I would be there too? But here I am. I've been living on the streets since the 1st of November. I was too embarrassed to go to my church. The Dane County Human Services office really messed me up. The shelters are all full. I really didn't have much choice but to make my 95 Toyota my winter home. You know, I grew up in the church believing that God would take care of me when something like this happened. Now I don't know what to believe.
I was surprised to hear about Elizabeth's pregnancy. Childless and elderly, she and her husband Zachariah thought they would never have children. But God can do the impossible, she kept repeating to me during my stay, as if to convince herself the angel's promise was true. She told me about a messenger who had come to see her husband one day at the temple. The Lord has heard your prayer when you ask for a child, the angel said. You will conceive, and this son of yours will be a great man in the Lord's sight. Her husband Zachariah was in complete shock. He could hardly believe what he heard, and having never seen a messenger like this before, well, his skepticism got the best of him. But the angel wanted him to know that God could do the impossible. So that angel silenced Zachariah until the day the promise would come true. That husband Zachariah, he was quite a talker. What a sight that day as he came out of the temple, Elizabeth told me. He couldn't speak a word. His friends all laughed, and for the first time in years, Elizabeth had some peace and quiet around the house. Elizabeth told me how lucky I was to be God's chosen mother. She marveled at the strength of my faith, especially when she compared it to her husband's. As I traveled back to Nazareth, I had a song in my heart. Truly I am blessed, and truly my son will be a blessing.
Frankly, I was surprised that I was pregnant. As a little girl, I dreamed of being a mom, having a baby, somebody to love and love me back. That was my fantasy world. But when I saw the results of the pregnancy test, I was brought back to earth in a hurry. Yes, I dreamed of motherhood, but I never thought I would get pregnant so soon. With my husband gone, I now had to face how to be a mom without a mate. Single mother was never part of my childhood dream, and I eased into my future role with more than a little fear and trepidation. It's funny how expectations change. When I got married, I felt that we would be a family that lived happily ever after. At first, there were lots of nice surprises. My parents were so supportive until they had to move away. Church friends and neighbors brought us wedding gifts and wished us all the happiness in the world. But living with someone day in and day out is so difficult. More than I ever imagined. For the first year or so, my husband and I did pretty well. But once we really got to know each other, we tried to change each other's bad habits, correct the other's weaknesses. That didn't work too well. In fact, all it did was lead to arguments and disappointments. I could tell my husband was growing more discouraged with each passing week, and I felt powerless to make changes. The advent of this baby, I thought, might keep us together, but the reality of it coming, I guess, forced my husband to face the difficulty of being a parent in a rocky marriage, and he opted out. I want to believe things are going to get better. After all, Christmas is in 2 days. I want to think I'm going to be a mom for a reason. And at the very least, that God will look upon my child with favor and love.
My son was born into a world full of selfish hearts. I now realize that many of my people, faithful Jews, had lost sight of God and each other. Our world was a world where the hungry were neglected, the widows and orphans around us scorned, and the politicians and priests profited enormously at our expense. My son came and brought a new kind of justice to the world. I remember when he stood in the synagogue near our home in Nazareth and read from the prophet Isaiah as if they were his own words. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," he said, "because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He had sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." During his life, this was the kind of justice he brought, God's justice, which dismissed selfishness and displayed its mercy through love. I'm proud my son lived this kind of life. He treated forgotten, fearful, and lonely people differently than anyone else. These were God's chosen ones, he taught, and my son's love reached out to them.
Will my son be born into a world of selfish hearts? Sometimes I wonder, and sometimes I wonder about the kind of Madison my son will grow up in. With so many of us living on the streets these days, families without fathers, families without work, Gulf War vets, the mentally ill, and with so many people using our local food pantries each month, I wonder, and I worry about my son's future. Justice seems like such an empty word to me, more akin to preachers' pulpits and politicians' podiums than life on the streets. To be honest with you, I get a little angry when these people talk about justice, believing that by speaking the word, things will magically change and life will be better. Perhaps if justice was done, I would not be here right now. Perhaps if justice was done, my son would not be born into a world that was so cruel and unfair. Perhaps if justice was done, Christmas would mean more to me than I know it will.
My son started to create that new kind of world. "The first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first," he said. "It will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Love your enemies and bless those who curse you. In this new world, the poor will be rich," he taught. "The mighty will be dethroned. Hungry spirits will be satisfied. The widow and the orphan will be cared for, and the insecure will feel loved." This new world was my son's work, a new world which threatened so many rich and powerful people in Jerusalem and landed my son before Pilate. I still long for this new world, and when I grow discouraged that it has not yet fully arrived, I remember the angel's words to me so many years ago: "God can do the impossible."
I may be naive, but I do dream of something better for my son. Sometimes I imagine a Madison where no one has to sleep in a homeless shelter on a freezing winter night, or didn't need to go to St. Vinny's for a warm coat, or porch light for a warm meal, or where the unemployment offices had to close for lack of business. What a Christmas present that would be for my son, for any mother's son.
I will never forget the time when Elizabeth and I visited in her home. Both of us were pregnant and a little frightened, and yet so filled with wonder and excitement at what the angel had said. John would be her son. Elizabeth and Zechariah had grown so old that the prospect of a newborn seemed like a distant light fading from their dreams. But then the impossible happened, and Zechariah and Elizabeth, old in age and old in spirit, were filled with hope and anticipation. John would be their son, and Jesus would be mine. God had been faithful to my people. His ancient promises have come true, though perhaps a little differently than most of my people expected. As I look back on all that happened since my visit with Elizabeth, there is something that surprises me more than anything else. Not that my son is the Messiah, but that I'm his mother, me, Mary of Nazareth. I'm about as ordinary as they come. Yet God chose me to be the mother of the Messiah. God was faithful through me. What a strange and risky kind of faithfulness, I've often thought to myself, for God to work through human beings. But as I have learned, the impossible can happen in this way. I know from personal experience, because it happened through me.
Has God been faithful? What a question. At times I've asked myself why God doesn't do something about the mess I'm in, about the mess our world is in. Frankly, I dream about being rescued from all of this. I wish God could wave the magic wand and make it all better. At first, I felt so powerless that I expected God to do something dramatic. When God didn't, I got angry. But now I'm in a different place. The last several weeks, living out of my car, have taught me that no one else is going to save me from my problems. It's not fair or realistic to expect someone else to do it all, not even God. There are some things I need to work on in my own life, some responsibility I share for my future. But I can't do it alone. I know that. I need help, and other people too. What's the most discouraging is the way other people treat me these days, as if I am a bum, as if I'm someone else's problem, as if there is no hope for me and I'm resigned to being a single parent without a place to call home. I just can't do it all by myself. But you know, I am coming to realize that God does love me and wants the very best for me and my son, and that means so much to me right now. But I have to help myself, and other people have to lend a helping hand too. The question is, when will they? A strange and risky arrangement, don't you think? It's not all up to God. It's not all up to us. It's up to God and us together. A better life, a better world. It sounds so impossible until I think of Christmas.